you know, if children can learn during this period how important it is to budget and how important it is to prioritise, and if nothing else, if they learn the difference between what we need and what we want, then it's a hard time for us all. But, you know, that's lifelong learning, that when they're on their own and they're having to manage their own budget, those skills, planting the seeds, will grow. And that's a great learning opportunity, you know, for kids and families. Hi, welcome to the Sharing Parenting Podcast, where we discuss real parenting issues. Being a parent is the biggest and most important job you will ever do. So we feel it's normal and natural for parents to look for good quality, reliable information, which has a strong evidence base behind it. My name is Suzanne Pearson, and I'm the director and founder of Sharing Parenting. Sharing Parenting has been supporting parents and professionals since 2009, and we work hard to normalise parenting support and make this easily available to all parents and professionals, which is why we've put together an interesting and informative series of podcasts for you to enjoy. Now, all that's left is for you to tune in, sit back, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, and welcome to the Sharing Parenting Podcast. So I'm Ginny, and today I'm here with Suzanne.
Hi, Ginny. Nice to be here.
Good to see you. So the question that we have today is, I'm worried about the price of everything, and how can I explain to my children that we can't afford everything?
I think that's a great question, and a question that will ring a bell with a lot of families in the country, really. I mean, I feel sorry for families right now. We know we've just survived the pandemic with our children, and now we're facing the perfect storm. We've got food, petrol, energy bills going sky high. I think, you know, before I answer that question, I think we need to be reassured. You know, as a race, as humans, we have survived loads of challenges in the past. We have gone through them, the fact that we're all still here. And these days will pass, but they can be very stressful right now and for today when you're trying to make the pennies match what you need and it's not matching.
I think, yeah, good point. And also, as you said, you know, it's about resilience, isn't it? We talk about resilience a lot in sharing parenting, but actually that we've already shown our resilience coming through the COVID and coming through coronavirus and the pandemic and other things that have always kind of come up and popped up. So as you said, you know, history shows us that these things will come and will challenge us, but actually we can get through them. But I think we've got some really good tips, haven't we, to share with people and kind of what they can do right now or how they might feel about
it. I think the kids will pick up your anxiety as a parent. So that's one of the things I'd say is be careful of your own anxiety. You know, be careful to look after yourself and trying to keep yourself calm, because we know our kids. They'll be reading your facial expression, your body expression, if you're a bit tense, if you're a bit, you know, tense around the brow, the shoulders. They'll be looking at you. So whenever possible, and we always say this in sharing parenting, look after yourself as a parent and you're looking after the family. So the first thing is, kids will worry. Kids have already started to talk about it in the playground. They've already started to pick up what's happening. We can't really hide it. So the first thing I'd say is, talk and listen to your kids. You know, when you're feeling calm yourself, sit down and say to them, you know, we're going to have to budget. I know it sounds strange, but this is an opportunity to teach your kids about money and about budgeting, about spending, about saving, about prioritising what's important, about the difference between what we need and what we want. So this is an opportunity, however hard it is for us as a family, to actually do some teaching with our kids.
Yes, it's actually, as you say, like a really good education and a really good lesson, isn't it, for us? So to take it as a positive opportunity and to talk to our children honestly about things. And as you say, we talk about age and stage, don't we? So some children will understand things in another way, but actually if we can sit down and talk to them sensibly and think about their age and stage, then we can help them to understand what's going on, but also to teach them some lifelong lessons that will actually really benefit them in the future anyway.
And they are life skills, you know, they are life skills. So not to feel bad about having to make these changes, but it will, you know, it's the way we do it. It's not the changes, but it's the way we do it that will make the difference. So it might be worth having a conversation, if you're able to, about where the money comes from. And it's not an endless pot of money, that we have a set amount of money and have a family meeting and think, okay, with this money, we need to look at what's important. And the bills, the food is what's important, keeping you safe. And also, as you say, Jenny, age and stage, we don't want to burden the children. So we want to make it clear it's our problem as a parent, as an adult, but to share some of that with them and actually say, okay, we need to decide as a family what's important to us, what are our priorities? And if we don't meet our priorities, if we don't pay the bills and get food, what are the consequences? And teach kids about those consequences.
So absolutely. So as you said, life skills, you know, we need this. We need to know at some point in our life, don't we, when how to prioritise, what are our priorities as a family or as an individual. So is this where pocket money might come in? I mean, obviously, that might be something that has to go, the pocket money, when everything else, because if you are prioritising food or heating, then you might not have anything left for pocket money. But if it was a small amount, do you think that that might be a way of helping them to understand that there isn't a there is a finite amount of money, and, you know, once it's gone, it's gone? Is that?
I think that's really good you raised that, because pocket money, I know it sounds bizarre when we're all looking at the pennies to think, oh, give our kids pocket money. But pocket money can be helpful, especially if you're giving your child a pound a week, a pound a month, whatever it is you're giving them. And you can talk to them about how they prioritise what they buy. And also it can take a wee bit of the pressure off us, because they're choosing their sweets and they're not asking us. You know, they have to choose their snacks with whatever you give them. Then that, you can see a parallel process. So it sounds a bit odd saying give pocket money, but that can actually take some of the pressure off. And it can help children understand a bit more about budgeting. I mean, but children learn differently. And we've got one mum who's been talking to her child about the energy bills and trying to say, you know, when you put the kettle on, that costs money. When you put the lights on, when you put the washing machine or the boiler on for hot water, it all costs money. So what she's done is, because she feels like the child's not kind of getting it, is she's shown them the smart meter.
Oh, excellent idea.
And she's shown them how the numbers go up when different things go on and how that links to cost. So the child can visually see what's costing money and what's the difference. And so there's little things like that. All children learn differently. And as a parent, you are the expert in your child and you will know how they learn best. Think about what's best for them. There is money games out there, money management games. Go to Oxfam or one of the charity shops, see if there's any out there. Local library, I think you're able to order games in some of the libraries now. And just to teach a little bit about money. But it can be hard, especially like, you know, teenagers. Oh my gosh, teenagers, smartphones, trainers, Netflix, all cost a lot of money.
And I think that's why, you know, we're asking that question at the beginning of the podcast. Because and you have reminded me that that is exactly what I did with my children. Because, and I gave them just a small amount of money. And I can't remember the age, but, you know, it was an age when I thought they could understand. And the reason I did it is because they kept asking me for things in every shop. So in the end, I kind of thought, well, if I just give you a small amount, then you can choose where you want to spend it. And actually, you know, my son decided to save it. And so when we got into the shop, I'd say, well, do you want to choose? And he said, no, I'm saving for something bigger. And, you know, so all of the things that normally he would have asked me for, he stopped asking me for them because he understood that that's where his money was going to go. So yeah, it was a really good life lesson. And when you talked about the smart meter, that was a really great thing to do. And it, as you said, sort of balancing that with not worrying your children, but just explaining, you know, how electricity works. But it sounded to me, as you said, it was also a bit of a science lesson, isn't it, really? And about the environment, you know, as well. You know, so actually we all have a responsibility not to overuse energy and to overuse things. But so if, you know, when you put the tumble dryer on, you suddenly see the smart meter zipping up to the red, then children kind of understand from an early age that perhaps we shouldn't put the tumble dryer on quite as much, you know, and we might want to put them on a clothes dryer or put them outside to dry, and they might even help you to put that washing on the line if you're lucky.
Yeah, so yeah, some kids they have to see it, that they're visual learners, they have to see it, and that will have more impact than you sitting for half an hour trying to explain how energy bills go up. So that's it's a useful tool for some kids. With teenagers, though, I mean, the teenagers can be quite demanding. So if your teenager is saying, well, why can't I have those trainers? Why can't I have that smartphone? Then again, when we're saying this is an opportunity for teaching and learning, talk to the teenager about saving up. Because in our society, we seem to have, a lot of people seem to have this instant, I want it now. And saving up seems to go to the side. Or give them your budget and say, okay, this is how much I've got that I can afford to spend on your trainers whenever you can afford to spend it. And you have to find something in that budget. You know? So there's choices to give them, you know, teenagers, give them some choices.
Yeah, which is exactly what we have to do as an adult, isn't it? So, you know, again, it is helping them prepare for the future. And we talk about the suitcase and sharing parenting, don't we? Kind of what skills do we want to give our children when they finally leave home? Well, if one of those is budgeting, then I think that's a really good skill that we can give them. And as you said, a really good way of helping them to have that conversation with maybe with their friends about what they can have, what they can't have. So if they do want the next designer trainer and it's, you know, it costs four times more than a trainer that perhaps you can afford to get, perhaps they can wait for it, or it might be that they might ask for all of their birthday and Christmas money to go towards it, but they can help make that choice. Or they might then decide to get the cheaper trainer. But
yeah nice. And just, it is an opportunity for sitting and talking and listening to your children. And actually, 2 years, one mouth. We've got 2 years and one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. And when your kids do express worry, concern, frustration at not being able to get what they normally get, I mean, you don't have to rescue and try and fix it. What you do need to do is just sit there and understand, repeat back some of their feelings, listen to them. You know, we don't have to put stress on ourselves to try and change things that we can't change. Just change what we can change. But listening to kids is a good way of dealing with this, because there will be frustrations. You know, like going to the supermarket, kids might want lots of their usual snacks and their usual food and their usual treats. And actually, before you go to the supermarket, when you're writing your shopping list, that's the time to set expectations.
And there is that, I always say, don't go to the supermarket when you're hungry. So perhaps feed them before they go. And then, you know, they can have a list. They can help you to write the list of what you need. And that kind of brings me on to the food. We've got on our website, we have got some meals which cost less to make, or are quite sort of simple to make for families who are also very busy. So is that something that you think as well perhaps children could get involved in, perhaps either growing their own vegetables or understanding where food comes from, but also perhaps helping them to cook the meal?
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea, you know, and I know it takes time, but if you can look up some, and we've got some on our website, low-cost recipes, budget meals, you know, and let your child choose which one, you know, choose two of them yourself and say, you choose which one we'll have on Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, get the kids involved. And if they can grow simple veg, Get a couple of tomato seeds, put them on a wee bit of soil, water them, see how it grows. All that will help children feel that they're contributing to helping in the situation. It doesn't matter if there's you don't have a brand new shiny tomato tree, but it helps children feel capable, that they're actually doing something to help as well. Because sometimes when children, if they see us struggling and they feel there's nothing they can do, they can feel quite helpless. But just doing the little things like growing the veg, making the budget meal, asking them what ideas they have that could save money during this tough time, not just for you as a family, but as a country, really. What ideas do they have? Help them get involved in an age-appropriate way. But yeah.
So it's kind of helping them to take responsibility as well, isn't it? Which is, again, a really good life skill. And when you mentioned something earlier, it made me think of the temptation to fix things as a parent. And I think that is our temptation. But I think as our children grow and get older, we realise we can't fix everything. But by giving them responsibility, then we're helping them to make their own decisions and also probably helping them to problem solve real issues which are going to come up for them in the future.
Yeah, I mean, getting talking to children, letting them know their opinion counts is important. Connecting with them, asking them their views and thoughts, getting them involved in prioritising when it's appropriate. Talking to them about the difference between needs and wants. I mean, the ideal thing is to do this discussion as a family, if it's possible, to sit down together and just say we're going to have to make a few changes during these hard times. These are what we are thinking. Have you got any other ideas? Change is hard. Children will not like it if they're not able to get what they normally want. And maybe talk about that. We're all having to do things that we don't normally do. And this is going to be hard. Set that expectation. This is not going to be easy at the beginning for any of us. But as a family, we're strong and we'll get through this. Just take it slowly. You could even, I mean, thinking of the supermarket, Jenny, you can even play a game where you get some of the brand items, Tesco brand or Sainsbury's brand items, and ask the kids, okay, what can you taste any difference?
Yes,
You can do a little taste test.
I've seen programs on that and also information online about sort of swapping over. So if you always get like the high brand, perhaps go for the supermarket brand, or if you get the supermarket brand, perhaps go for the low cost one and just see if there is a difference. And it can be a game again, can't it? You can kind of make it fun. But actually, I think all of these things, and as you said at the beginning, is a real opportunity for change and growth, isn't it? And actually, it can be a real positive. So we see it as a negative, and it is an anxiety, and it is a worry. And if you don't have food to put on your table, that is a real worry. And I'm sure there are places that we can signpost people to get support for that. But if you've got enough, just enough, then actually make a game of it and involve them, let them take responsibility and give them those sort of life skills that they will always remember.
Yeah, because if children can learn during this period how important it is to budget and how important it is to prioritise, and if nothing else, if they learn the difference between what we need and what we want, then it's a hard time for us all. But that's lifelong learning, that when they're on their own and they're having to manage their own budget, those skills, planting the seeds, will grow. And that's a great learning opportunity, for kids and families.
Well, that's really great, Suzanne. We've spent a lot of time talking about lots of things there. What would be your top takeaways?
I think one of my top takeaways would be this is a chance for kids to learn how to budget, and that is a skill that will keep with them through their whole life. So my first takeaway is sit with kids and talk about budgeting. Talk about how you set a budget, talk about how it has to work and how you have to keep to the budget and what happens if you don't keep to the budget. That is a skill you will give your child for life by planting those seeds. My second takeaway is look after yourself as a parent. This could be very stressful and lots of stressful times this winter. Make sure you have time for yourself to stay calm. Make sure you can have time to calm your mind. Even it's simple breathing, listening to nice music for 10 minutes on your own. Things that you know help you stay calm, because it's going to be stressful for a lot of people. And I guess, you know, at the end of this term, we've got Christmas facing us. And that's always stressful for a lot of people. And remember, the best thing you can give your child at Christmas is time. Playing the games, having fun, because that's what they'll remember more than anything. We had a laugh playing a game. You know, we had fun as a family. So the best thing you can give them is time. And if you are starting to buy the odd present, buy fancy warm sweaters rather than lots of toys.
Yeah, excellent. I think the charity shops are a really good place to start as well, aren't
fantastic.
They?
Fantastic.
Secondhand box games, yeah, I think everybody's got a good memory of playing games with their family for that. So, excellent, that's lovely. Thank you, Suzanne, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Ginny. Bye. We hope you enjoyed that episode. If you would like more information or have a parenting question about anything we have discussed or want to find out more about parent support, please visit our website, sharingparenting.com. Here you can find written articles, videos with positive strategies, a range of courses and workshops, and loads of information. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us next time.